Welcome to The Right Chamber, the podcast that takes you inside the NHS to explore what really makes a hospital a hospital.
Each episode, we sit down with the people who keep healthcare moving, from doctors, nurses on the front line, to students, the support teams, administrators, corporate staff, and everyone in between. These are the voices that often go unheard, but together they form the heartbeat of our hospitals.
Our aim is simple: to share authentic stories that are accessible to the public, meaningful to NHS staff, and a reminder that healthcare is more than treatments and wards. It's a whole community working together.
So whether you're part of the NHS family or simply curious about the people behind the service, join us as we open the doors to the conversations that matter here in the Right Chamber.
Frances Hancock is the Schools Engagement and Work Experience Programme Manager at the Dudley Group, where she supports young people and local communities to explore NHS careers. She is passionate about creating inspiring experiences that enable confident future choices. Outside work, she helps lead her church, enjoys family life, creativity, and muddy walks with her schnoodle, Percy. Jo Slater leads apprenticeship programs at the Dudley Group, shaping workforce development and collaborating with managers and training providers to deliver high-quality learning. She oversees the growth and skill levy, monitors learner progress, and reports key data to senior leadership and NHS England. Jo also champions apprenticeships externally, engaging with schools, colleges, and universities to inspire future talent. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the podcast. My name is Victor and I'm here with Jaspri.
Today, we're diving into careers and apprenticeships within the NHS and why there's more than one way to build a future in healthcare.
We're talking early exposure, discovering your strengths, and showing that you don't need a straight line path or a university degree to succeed within the NHS.
And we're joined by Jo and Fran to break down real pathways from entry levels right up to leadership.
Great. Let's get into it. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Would you like to tell us a little bit about yourselves and your job roles in the NHS?
So my name's Fran Hancock and I've been at the Trust for about 11 years, initially in apprenticeships and work experience, and in the last sort of 5 to 6 years, more focused on growing NHS careers, schools engagement, running and developing work experience programmes.
Great.
I'm Jo Slater. I'm the Apprenticeship Programme Manager. I've been in this role for about 5 or 6 years now, but I've been with the Trust for 21 years. Started in an administration role in learning and development, and I've kind of stayed under that umbrella of learning and development just into different areas as I moved into apprenticeships several years ago.
So before we get into what the NHS experience is and a little bit more about your job role, what exactly made you go into this?
Good question. So I suppose in my career, I mean, I have to talk about careers quite a lot in the job that I do. Looking back, my career hasn't had a kind of linear pathway. And I think it's really important to portray that to younger people, that it's okay that you don't necessarily have to know exactly what you do. So I've, I suppose, fallen into this job role actually sort of 11 years ago when I worked for the NHS in a health promotion role, and the funding was cut for that job role, so I went through redeployment and so ended up in this role. But I think the main essence for me is, it sounds a bit cliche, but really wanting to help people in whatever way that is. And this obviously is helping people to find what they're really good at and personally to them, what their skills and abilities are, and bringing that out, you know, within what that might look like in the NHS for them.
Brilliant.
For me, as I say, I started off in administration in what was then called the training and development departments, and it was just myself and a manager. And over the years, it's really expanded, and you know, the what was done by two people is now done by about 3 or 4 different teams. And I kind of like got involved in the administration for like lots of initiatives that have happened over the years, and the introduction of like mandatory training all of that kind of thing that falls under the umbrella of what's now learning and development and organisational development. One of them that came on board around about 2012 was a first group of apprenticeships, of apprentices doing the business admin level two, as it was then. And part of my role, and it was a small part of my role, was to do the administration to obviously get the apprentices on board and onto their programs. And then that role kind of expanded as apprenticeships became more of a, you know, of an initiative, really. So when Fran joined the trust, I think it was like 2015 or something like that, I kind of moved across it to do the admin more and concentrate more on the administrative side for the apprenticeships. And then I had a few years of myself and Fran working on the apprenticeship side of things. And then Fran went on maternity leave for a little while. And then I kind of stepped up to do her manager role. And then when she came back, we were both kept in that sort of role where we jointly. And then again, the team has expanded a bit more. So there's lots of growth over the years to become more about, obviously, about apprenticeships, but also interlinking with more of a developed work experience program and pre-employment initiatives as well. So we've kind of like, Fran's kind of taken more of the role of the work experience and pre-employment aspect, and I've stayed doing the apprenticeship side of things.
It's quite a big task, isn't it? Because especially I'm thinking pre-employment, someone who might have not experienced the NHS before, not sure. No, we always mention this, you know, over and over again in previous podcasts, how the view of the hospital can be so kind of narrow of, okay, nurses, doctors, not quite sure how I can fit in here. And you have to convince people and show them, okay, let's see where your skills are. And there are so many, you know, roles and there are so many areas where you can play a part. How do you go about tackling that?
I'll start, if that's all right, Joe. So one of the things that I kind of lead on is, so we have a group of NHS ambassadors, so career ambassadors, so staff at work within the trust who are really passionate about what they do and are happy to kind of be on hand to speak to students, perspective people within the NHS, or go to careers events. And so I myself am one of the ambassadors and go along to lots of career events. So that might be at secondary schools, some actually at primary schools now.
Oh, wow.
And so further education colleges. And one of the things that I love to do is to kind of, the students are kind of standing there as if to go, I don't know whether I want to go and speak to the NHS, because actually I don't know if I want to be a doctor or a nurse. And so I'm like, come speak to us. So, you know, just asking some questions. So do you know how many different careers there are in the NHS is one of the great starter questions. Ooh, that I would use. And quite often at secondary school, they're in groups to kind of, you know, stay like not so nervous as in a group. And so they'll, you know, they'll start to shout out some careers, and it will often be nurse, doctor, they might say physio, they might get to pharmacist, they might say midwife. And so then to kind of guess the number, which is actually obviously 350 and plus, they're really surprised, kind of just asking questions to draw out some of the ideas that they have. And then one of the really great things about the NHS kind of nationally is there are a lot of career resources, and there are a couple of really helpful career quizzes, and they are really personal. For me, that's a really great thing for a young person to do, because then they've got, right, I actually am like this, and these are some careers that I could consider that, and probably two or three of them will be a career that they didn't even know existed. Mm. So, you know, that's a great way for me.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Well, we should try doing that quiz now.
Yeah.
See what you come out.
Am I in the right place? Oh, that is brilliant. Because I can remember, like, in secondary school, doing kind of such quizzes, it tends to be kind of more broader, kind of just, ooh, where do my skills fitting? Yeah. But yeah, having something kind of tailored to the NHS and getting an idea in of actually, yeah, you out of, what, 350, there is somewhere that you can fit in and somewhere that your special skill set or where your passion lies, you know, you can really thrive in that area. So yeah, that is brilliant. So you take the information to the prospective students, which I think is amazing.
Yeah.
With the apprenticeship side of things, I suppose it is people who are more set or have an idea of what they want to do. So how is that framed?
So I think apprenticeships do provide entry points at quite a lot of levels. So it's not just about it doesn't necessarily have to be about starting at a level two or a level three, but we do have some really great entry points. And we have examples of those in health records. They do start a really good entry point for the administrative side of it and keeping the keeping all the patient records. But then it gives them kind of scope to look at what the hospital actually does and what other roles there are out there. And we've had many apprentices start in health records, and some go on to maintain permanent jobs within that team still, but then others have gone on to get jobs outside of that department, stay within the NHS, stay within the trust. And one I can think of, she went on to become a higher banded role within IT.
Wow.
And she was working on the IT help desk, and she actually helped me one day when I phoned the IT help desk. So when she said her name, I was like, I know you. She started off in health records at an entry point level. You know, you can come in at higher levels as well. We do mammography associate, and that's a level four. So obviously you have to have prerequisite qualifications already, but you can come in at an apprenticeship at quite a few points. We've got quite a lot of ranges where you can start off doing one thing but then progress to another. It's quite interchangeable really, and they do give really good exposure to what other careers are out there. So it's a bit of a door opener really.
So it's not just for people who are coming from the outside, it's also for people within the trust.
Most of our apprentices are actually internal existing members of staff who are utilising programmes to develop within their role or with an outlook to kind of going further up the chain. So, for example, our nursing pathway is a really good example of that. So we can have experienced support workers going on to do their level two or level three in healthcare support, but they can then stay there if they want to. It's quite flexible. Or they can then go on to the nursing associate program to become a nursing associate, a qualified nursing associate. And from there on, we do a top-up program for the registered nurse. So you can actually start at level two and come in as a complete novice, never working in healthcare before or having very little experience, and then get on the pathway to then actually working your way through the pathway to actually become a registered nurse if you want to, but you don't have to. You can stay in a support role if that suits you.
That's brilliant. So it's not just starting the role, but there's a lot of skill and transferable skill building in there, as well as the progression. So there's scope to start unregistered and then, you know, develop into a registered role,
yes.
But then also have those skills to, you know, perhaps take to other trusts,
yes,
and other roles. So that is amazing. Lots of scope to really develop and move within that field.
What about the NHS like experiences? So what feedback have you had? Because we've had these kids. Because normally it looks like they're shadowing us. What exactly is it, rather than just following us around?
In terms of the feedback that they've given after programmes,
yes,
like that, do you mean? Yeah. So recently, I suppose we've got a good example. So we run a centralised clinical work experience programme that is 1 week. It is for students who are specifically interested in nursing, midwifery,
any allied health professional career, and now healthcare science has been added onto that programme as well. So it's 2 classroom days currently. So they do a lot of simulation. They do a lot of kind of building skills, scenarios, looking at what sorts of things you would need, professional behaviours as such within the NHS. So they do a lot of discussion activity around that, which then will prepare them for 3 placement days, hopefully of a career that they are particularly interested in. So within their application, they would say, I'm actually particularly interested in being a physiotherapist, for example. And so hopefully then their placement day would be either in the physiotherapy department. We have done a rotation, so we've tried to do trying to kind of broaden their awareness a little bit. So they'll have a placement day within physio, but they might also have a placement day within occupational therapy or maybe radiography as well. Mm-hmm. And so we recently ran that programme. It was sort of mid-November time. I think we had 25 students come on that programme. And at the end of it, so just kind of thinking of percentages, we asked in kind of a feedback questionnaire, we asked about what the impact of that programme was for them. And I think one of the answers was that, yes, it's helped me to consolidate my career choice in that I do want to go into a career in nursing, midwifery, allied health professionals or healthcare science. And I think we had about 60% who answered yes to that question. And then there was also another one that said, it's helped me to find out about other wider careers within the NHS that I now want to pursue. And interestingly, we had about, I think it was nearly 40%, 30-something percent who answered that, which for me is massive, because as part of the classroom programme, we try to do a meet the expert session where they get to kind of see different careers. And it's really helped them to go, oh, I really didn't know about this career. And so I'm interested in this, but now I think this suits me better. Quite often work experience programs in whatever form they are, it's a success for me with ever what outcome it is, because if they've decided that actually nursing isn't for them, that's still a success, because it's kind of helped them to go, actually, this isn't what I really thought it was. And it stops them from going into a profession that later down the line they think, oh, I wish I hadn't have done this, but it all equally will consolidate some choices and go, yeah, this is really what I wanted to do. So whether that's actually answered your question or not, I'm not sure.
No, 100%, because there are people who go into a career without having any information about it. I particularly like that story you said about the woman who decided that she wanted to be more patient-facing.
Yeah, we've had several examples.
So it's quite nice. And, there could be people who don't want to be patient-facing anymore and want to, start doing admin work instead.
Yes, it can work both ways. Yeah.
There's some really interesting examples, actually. I think when I first started in the early kind of days of some of the business admin apprenticeships that were entry level, like Joe's talked about, one particular person that I can think of went to do an administration role within a lab setting, and she's actually now a qualified healthcare scientist.
Wow.
All through an apprenticeship route, because she did that apprenticeship within that area and thought, wow, this is amazing. And so yes, she's not gone on to do a kind of management or an administration in its wider sense.
Knowing from earlier on is also a great benefit, because there are some people who might find, actually, I know exactly what I want to do, and I know there are different routes of entry into this role. Perhaps I don't need to go to university and study a particular thing. If I know, actually, there's another route here which is very hands-on and experience focused, and it's just perfect for my style of learning, where some people learn by doing, and something like the apprenticeship, it just creates that perfect environment for them to do that. So knowing your options from earlier on is also a massive benefit. Because the number of people you see, at uni, is like, well, why are you studying what you do? And it's actually, I don't know, I just needed to choose something.
I think a lot of people are scared of trying, because they think you need a university degree, whereas don't need it.
Yeah, there are so many different entries, right? And I love what you said about that, you know, entry levels. There will be some roles, I imagine, that, you know, will have, you know, you'll need some prerequisite like degrees or, but there are, it's about that, that option being available for people, knowing that no matter what level you're in or where you're coming from, there is something that will be suited to you at your level with scope for progression.
And it's about stamping out that misconception that apprenticeships as well are for school leavers. They're not. They're really not. We've got a really good range of clinical and non-clinical, very varied programmes, you know, and they start at level two and they go up to, well, they go up to level seven, actually. But there's no maximum age requirement, unfortunately, now there is for the level seven, because the government recently introduced that cap. For levels two to six, they are for any age group. And going back to career changes, I can think of one lady that I've recently done a little bit of a case study on. We're going to be writing that up and putting that out there. So as a success story, where she was in her 40s and decided that she didn't want to do what she was doing anymore, which was working in a school. She decided she needed to do something different. You know, her life had changed a little bit and she really wanted to do something new. So she started off on a pharmacy assistant program at level two. She then went on to pharmacy technician at level three. And I believe now she is a BAN for medicine management technician.
Oh.
And she's going on to the STEP program to become a BAN five. And she started that journey in her 40s.
Wow.
So it's not just for 16-year-olds. It is for any age group, any point in your lifetime where you really feel like, I want to progress into something different or progress on what you're doing, you know, gaining the skills within your, you know, within your job role, within your career choice, you can still develop those skills. I mean, myself, I did the operations manager level five. So I graduated, I just done my graduation actually in November, but I completed my endpoint assessment in January. It was really a valuable learning experience and I'm very proud of myself for doing it. And then I had my cap and gown at the end of it as well. So that was really fun. That was really, it was really special. So, yeah, I think it just goes to show that you don't have to just be a school leaver.
Yeah.
And you know, or a younger person to do these programmes.
I think then on the flip side, that, you know, we've seen the younger people that have come in at the entry level apprenticeships and worked their way right up. And, you know, Joe and I suppose, because we've been here like 10 years plus, we'll walk around the corridor and we will see people who started at entry-level apprenticeships and are now team managers, for example.
Wow.
In fact, one of them actually manages us. and, you know, it's brilliant because they have gained so much confidence, so much experience, so many qualifications along the way, you know, and they're great at what they do. So, you know, I think we quite often have a little go, oh, do you remember that person? And, you know, we walk down the corridor being quite proud quite often, don't we, that we see.
Well, yeah, being a proud parent, really. So it's lovely. It's lovely to see that and be. And to think that we've had a little small part of being in part of that journey and providing that kind of bridge to the opportunities, really, for them to go on and to succeed in what they do.
Wow.
Amazing. No, it is wonderful,
amazing. All right. Just before we kind of come to the end of the podcast, just to pose a scenario at you. I am a 16-year-old now and I've had a thought about coming into the NHS, but I know nothing. My school hasn't planned any visits or anytime soon. What are my first points of call? Where can I go to get information? And then similarly, I am, I don't know, 30 or, you know, I'm in my career, but I'm not really, I want a change. And I'm thinking actually healthcare might be for me. What should my first steps be? Where can I go to? So just a bit of signposting.
I think, you know, the NHS careers website is a very good starting point. There's a lot of information on there. And again, I think, as Franz mentioned, the quiz, that's a very good, that's a good starting point, isn't it, really?
Yeah. I mean, I would say you need to, if you don't know, you would need to do a little bit of kind of looking at your skills, the progression conversations and the engaging with employers, i.e. somebody, perhaps an ambassador in a particular career, then they're more beneficial once you have that little bit of information. And like Joe says, there's a lot of information out there nationally for the NHS. Obviously, there's some kind of in general as well, like you mentioned earlier, there are some, if it's definitely not the NHS that you want to go to, I would still say, still do the NHS career quiz, because actually there are so many areas within the NHS that you didn't think existed. So I would say do that. And then there are lots of different things so that, yes, we could get you to apply for one of the NHS work experience programs. We could, you know, in conjunction with the school or the college that you were at, you know, having those conversations about what's next. So like I'd mentioned, T-levels, and then you know, lots of different programs. Is that for you? Is that not for you? Is an apprenticeship for you? How about having a conversation with a radiographer, for example, you know, have a chat with them. And, you know, so there's so much knowledge, or, but it can be a bit overwhelming to start with. So I think it's really important to do those little bits of conversations. And sometimes it is a conversation with someone to say, do you like this? Do you not like this? Let's kind of look at this together and trying to discover, you know, more of you, to help you to discover the right kind of area.
So if a department or a team in the trust wanted to expand their team, how would they get involved with the work experience or apprenticeship program?
Yeah. So there's so many different ways that a team can get involved. And also, a team might not know, but there's so many different ways to be involved in inspiring our next generation of the NHS workforce. And so, yes, traditionally we would refer to that as work experience, but that is very broad in its sense. So it might be that, yes, you're happy to have a student on a week's placement that is a face-to-face shadowing type placement, and that's absolutely fine. We can do that. There's a department-led process that enables a department to do that safely and effectively. But there are lots of other ways as well. So there are, kind of like I've mentioned, there are our career ambassadors. So there are conversations that can happen with that team, with other teams that have done things slightly differently. So you could even do perhaps an insight day as a team. You could attend one of the careers fairs at one of the local schools. There are some, you know, classroom type scenarios, some programs that could get involved in one of the programs that we already run. And, you know, they could almost do a taster afternoon even. So there are so many different ways that a team can get involved to try and inspire people into their career. And then obviously through that pathway, you know, moving then on to their kind of workforce development plans and how that might look. And I think it's really important for a team to look further down the line in the future, what your department, your team would in an ideal world look like, and what sort of people you would want in your team to maximize the efficiency of your team, to you know, obviously benefit patient care, and to, you know, all of that. I think it plays a massive part, and I think sometimes we're a little bit guilty of dealing with the here and now within the NHS. And so, you know, I think from Joe and I's perspective, it's so important to consider all of the different programs that we have to look further forward down the line.
Address the gaps that, you know, that you're experiencing in your team, you know, or look at what your workforce is going to look like in a few years from now. Think ahead and think about how, you know, promoting your area from, you know, to school students upwards, really, and think about how, you know, you could utilise an apprentice as a trainee, perhaps, to kind of address some of those gaps. We've got an amazing example of podiatry. That's been an area where they have struggled to recruit into. And, you know, there's a lot of areas that are experiencing the same thing. So what they've done in podiatry is they've introduced for the first time September 2025, they've introduced their first podiatry degree level apprentice. And that's kind of them looking at their needs now, but also being able to address where that person is going to be in the next 2-3 years. And then on to obviously becoming into that qualified podiatry band 5 post that they're going to need.
Actively involving the different teams of the hospital and how they can themselves build their kind of future workforce. That's great.
I think one of the challenges for some teams, or for a lot of teams, is the capacity and the time that they have to give. And so that can often be a barrier to having those conversations even. But, you know, to get involved in just starting to engage with students. So we run a couple of different programs, 3 or 4 times a year. We do behind the scenes where we invite local secondary school students in. They have a bit of a careers market fair with some of our internal teams, and then they go off to have an interactive tour of 2 or 3 different departments. And that's been, you know, hugely successful. So if a department doesn't have the time to plan and prepare a face-to-face placement or be part of a current program that's happening, they could sort of give, they tend to be after school time, towards when perhaps patients would be going home and it's not a busy time. If they gave a little bit of extra time to engage perhaps with a tour, then that's an easy way that you could do, or a meet the expert session. So we've done some online meet the expert sessions where we engage with a lot of students. So one of the local schools does a careers thing within year 10, and we're then kind of, we've done it quite a bit with radiography because that seems to be quite a popular career at the moment. And so we'll be, myself and a radiographer will be on the screen, and there's some set questions. It's quite quick fire FAQs, and there's some time for students to ask their own questions as well because it's live. And so we'll actually be on the face of the classroom within like the 5 different year 10 classes, so you can engage with a lot of students in a really short space of time. And actually, because the questions are about yourself and your career choice as the radiographer, they don't actually involve a lot of preparation time. So there's so many different ways that you might not think about that you can be really helpful in trying to kind of inspire people into the career that you have or the area within your team that you have gaps. So
okay, so NHS Jobs website, it's full of information there on apprenticeship programs advertised on.
Yeah,
there as well, is it?
It's all on there, but we do have our own website as well, the Dudley Group website, where we have got an area for the careers at Dudley.
Thank you so much for the conversations. I think this is an appropriate place to bring the podcast to a close. It's been lovely, lovely, lovely having you on the podcast, Fran and Joe. Great meeting you, and I'm sure lots of people have, you know, gained new insight into how to approach careers and placements, work experience within the NHS. So thank you so much once again, and we'll end the podcast there.
Remember to stay connected with us on social media. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at RGUCMS, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, RGUC Media, for more exclusive content and updates. Thanks for tuning in to the Right Chamber podcast. Until next time.